This podcast is part of the Gunna Geek Network. The opinions expressed may not reflect those of other podcasts or affiliates of this show. We're Gunna Geek. Check out other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. Get ready because geekiness commences in 3, 2, 1.
You're listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
And your reporter for the 17th episode of the third season of Arrow titles Suicidal Tendencies. I am Wing, and with me is SP.
I had no idea the sheer number of crazies that were in this podcast until you set up that 1-900 line for Arrow Just the Tips.
Chris.
Love is a bullet in the brain, and if you believe any different, you're as crazy as she is.
Neil.
Ray built a super suit? That's kind of awesome and reckless.
And I'm Wing. When duty calls, Starling Tribune rides again! Woohoo!
And this is Jay playing the part of comic book editor this week. I'll jump in from time to time to straighten these guys out, since I wasn't there to do it live.
This podcast is recorded on Friday, March 7th... Ooh, not at all. This podcast is recorded on Friday, March 27th, 2015. Just a little reminder, we're a couple of guys discussing the TV show Arrow on the CW. Stargate likes to say that he's not a comic expert.
Not really.
But he's catching up pretty well at this point. I would say that Chris and Neil are comic fan enthusiasts.
Enthusiast is a nice word. I like it.
Yeah,
that works. I've returned to the fold.
Yeah, and
One of us.
And I'm supposed to be the resident comic geek, but I have a year of New 52 to catch up on.
No, it's New 52. You don't have to catch up on it.
Yeah, I know. Wait until Convergence.
Yeah, it all goes away then, so it doesn't matter.
That's true. They're rebooting the old thing again. Oh, dear God. Again with the reboot. But, hey, who cares? But this week, we got a nice episode. Not at all what I was expecting, I'll be honest.
I don't think anybody was expecting a Suicide Squad episode like this, because it really wasn't a whole squad. It was like two members, really.
Yeah, we'll discuss the old squad thing when we get there. But this episode is directed by Jesse Warren, and you have some credential for him, SP.
Yeah, he has done 4 Arrow episodes so far. He's done The Uprising, The Brave and the Bold, The Man Under the Hood. He's done 5 episodes of The Originals, an episode of Flash. He's done 8 episodes of Spartacus. There's a lot more that he's done, but that's his geek cred. So he's done a few. And I have to say that you can't say that he's done badly on Arrow so far. I mean, The Uprising was pretty good.
Yeah, I agree with that. That was actually a pretty interesting episode. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
And Brave and the Bold was a really solid episode. So, yeah, good cred in my book.
Mm-hmm. And then it was written by, and somebody help me out with this name. There's no way I'm going to get it.
Kito Shimizu.
There you go.
Who is the season 1 executive story editor for Arrow. He's also been the story editor for Being Human in 2012 and 2013. I assume that's the sci-fi channel Being Human and not the UK BBC version.
That's my guess.
Yeah, probably.
Kito's also been writing and working a lot on the Arrow season 2.5, the direct-to-digital comic from DC. So he's put in a lot of time getting to know the universe there.
And I'm really behind on that, but it's been really good. At least that's been my opinion.
Again, I'm a little late on my comic reading right now. Too much TV to watch.
There's an incredible amount of TV. I was complaining to somebody that, oh, I love Justified, but I'm so glad that it's ending because that's one less TV show that I have to watch on Tuesday nights.
Yeah, it's the same thing for me. Like, Mad Men is coming back, and I'm like, oh, dear God, where am I going to place that in my schedule? I don't know. But, you know, when there's too much good TV, that's a nice problem to have.
That's not a terrible problem to have.
Yeah, really, 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 really not. So, are you guys ready to crack this episode?
Let's do it.
So, Ollie is not late to the wedding. He's early, but he forgot photos. So they're going to Photoshop him.
I'm trying to remember if they discussed the photos being an hour earlier before, or if I'm remembering that from some other TV show or movie.
I don't remember it, but it's entirely possible they did. And it, I just put it out of my head because it seemed innocuous to me. And I was like, pictures, who cares?
Oh, hey, now, speaking from someone who has had to Photoshop family members into wedding photos, totally understandable. We missed my grandmother in most of them, and luckily I'm married to a graphic designer, so we fixed that in post.
Nice.
Well done.
You're married to a graphic designer. We might need to talk to her. We have some graphic design to do. Okay. Exploiting every part of the Gonna Geek Network.
It's what we do.
Yeah, but I like that wedding. It's a nice wedding, and I like the vows that they had. Like, do you really want to do this? Hell yeah.
Yeah, it worked.
It was a heat of the battle kind of relationship that brought them together, and it's interesting to see how that's changed over the years and kind of become what it is now.
Yeah, I just found the quote because it made me laugh. I wanted to find it, but Diggle goes, last time Lila and I got married, we set our vows on an ATV in the Registan Desert. This time she hired a photographer. So yes, Oliver, photos. It was a good line.
Oh yeah, it was. And Ray Palmer, is there anything you can't do? I'm a minister.
Yes.
It's a long story.
It's a long story, yeah.
There's one thing you can't do. It's beat the arrow.
Well,
Soon.
He's not trained. I mean, he needs to get trained.
I know. All right, so this is slightly aside, but as soon as he made a point in this episode, like, I'm going to go confront the arrow, I was like, I hope Oliver kicks your ass.
And he does. He does. Come on.
I'm taking this off topic. I apologize, but it just made me think of that. And I was like, I want you to get your ass kicked so bad.
The man knows how to fly, though. It's like he has a lot of training on how to look good while flying.
It's the same sound effects as Iron Man.
It looks just like Iron Man.
I know.
Like, and cheaper.
And then he beats the crap out of Roy, right? The arsenal. Repulsor rays him or whatever it is, and then Ollie just walks away. It's like
that was the thing that killed me.
Like, yeah. Go back and get him.
It's not as dramatic to walk over to your sidekick and pick them up. It's more dramatic to turn your back and walk off into the shadows like Batman.
Yeah.
After Roy gets straight up Palpatined, basically. Looked like Sith Lightning.
Poor Roy.
And you just to wonder when he realized that he left Roy there. Like, he turns around and goes, oh shit, and runs back.
Where's my sidekick? God damn. But poor Roy, he has less and less screen time every week.
Didn't even say anything. She was at the wedding, but she didn't have a line of dialogue.
Oh, that's true.
I think if you're the actor, you're like, hey, I get paid just to show up and do nothing this week.
Yeah, maybe. But I wonder if she had something wrong with her voice, like a bad cold or something, and lost her voice and couldn't talk. Also, we don't see her in the quiver after the reception. When you're doing your wedding dance, don't go checking the phone in your pocket. Come on.
Hey, but she's a super secret government agent. Important things could be happening.
Maybe, but it's your wedding. You get to pass on your wedding.
Do you know about nomophobia? They're probably just nomophobic. That's it. That is it. They can't get away from their phone.
Just because you have it doesn't mean the rest of us do.
Hey, don't judge me.
Yeah, I'm not going to admit to that.
Oh, I'm totally admitting to that. I can't live without a working phone, which my phone is bugging right now. Your phone.
Well, I definitely don't have it because I cannot have my phone at my job. So I don't have my phone all day.
Oh,
ouch. That sucks.
It does, but, you know, I live.
You do?
Or do you? Are you still alive or are you a zombie?
Just, you know, walking around. Kind of dead.
Brains.
Well, let's face it. That's most people's work anyway.
If I haven't had coffee, that's my work.
That's a good point. But bring it back just for a second there. Lance, in this episode, Lance is back to season one, Lance. Mad Lance.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Him being like that and Roy kind of being a dick too about everything, it made me like Laurel for the first time in forever. And I felt really weird about it. Because you guys know I'm not a big Laurel fan. But this week, I'm like, holy crap, I like you again.
Well, she's starting to be invested in the thing. So she's starting to be more fighting about the arrow, having a good rep. And she's defending him in front of everybody. The way she turns down Ray is amazing.
I think she goes a little bit overboard in defending Oliver, though. Not to Ray. I mean, that was good. And it was true, too. If you can't prove it, then Oliver's got a great libel suit against you. Is it libel? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's libel. Yeah, well, it's I don't libel. Know. Yeah, it's libel.
Yeah.
I couldn't think for a second. I get libel and slander confused.
Okay, I had to break in here because it was killing me. If it's spoken, it's slander. If it's in print, it's libel. Okay, back to these guys now.
So that was fine, but whenever she was on like TV or with the mayor or whatever, it was like, ah, just calm down. Dial it back just a little bit.
And you would think to the major benefactor of the Starling Police Station, which is, you know, truly decimated at this point, the guy's giving them buckets of cash. And she treats him like dirt, where this is the guy that you want to say, no, listen, you may have a case here, but let's work together. Let's try to build it up. No, just get out of my office. You got nothing. Maybe not what you want to do.
I think she was a little extreme in defending Oliver, but it was nice to actually see her seemingly be on his side again.
Yeah, but she's not even subtle about her secret identity at this point.
No, and that's kind of, and Roy kind of hints that, not Roy, Palmer. He's like, so, you get a lot of wrist injuries pushing paperwork or something like that?
I like it when she said, I got that at the gym, and he referenced Wildcat, but we know it's actually Nyssa that probably broke her arm.
Yeah, she could get a little intense.
So you guys had mentioned how she almost over-defended Oliver when her dad was there and the mayor and things like that. I think part of that, keeping going on this thread, is that not necessarily that's Oliver she's defending her lifestyle to her dad at that point, and it's personal.
Agreed.
Yeah, no, totally.
Going
there's meta, there's a lot of character disputes in this show this week.
But I want to go meta a little bit on there. Do you think she actually injured herself while training? Like, for real? And they had to build that into the show because she had to wear that thing?
Kind of like Haley Atwell over on Agent Carter. Yeah, I could see that. I mean, she's relatively new to all this stunt work, right? She's taken like a year to try to gen up some stunt skills and everything like that. That totally could have happened. Totally.
Yeah. And if you follow her on Facebook...
Sorry, SP, you said Haley Atwell, and I spaced out for 15 seconds. What'd you say?
But if you follow her on Facebook, she's training like crazy, so...
She is.
Yeah, I need to be more...
And looking in the chat room, I don't feel so bad, because Jeannie's joined us from Tyrion's Landing. She goes, Chris, I have major problems with Laurel as well. I don't this week, and it feels so weird.
I know. I told you just 2 weeks ago, I said, now just wait a second. You don't know what the plans are for her character over the course of the next 2 years. So she might have a positive arc coming on.
Well, it couldn't have gotten much more negative in my book with that character. But that's neither here nor there. I will try not to bash.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Give her a chance.
I mean,
they're building the character pretty well. You like her this week. By the end of the season, you might be kind of okay with her. And by season four, maybe you're going to love her.
Well, you got to remember, I liked her because I liked her backing up Oliver. And I liked her stamp the fact that Palmer's going to get his ass kicked by Ollie. That's all I wanted. Once Palmer was just like, Oliver Queen's the arrow and figures it all out, I was like, kick his ass, Ollie. Kick his ass.
Now, the Atom definitely is a new dynamic in Starling City that I don't know if the League has really taken into account yet.
Not yet, but they probably will at some point. And let's face it, he gets taken down so fast, he's nothing for them.
If Ollie can take down the Atom in less than 5 minutes, and I know part of that's probably special effects budgeting reason, but if Ollie can do it in less than 5 minutes, Roz is going to mop the floor with him in like 30 seconds.
Yeah, and let's face it, you have one critical point of, you know, something that's not working with your suit, and you put a Dell on it. LED, sorry, it's English. An LED on it. Come on. Come on. That's a flaw in your design. Take that light out.
Tony Stark does the same thing. He's like, shoot me in the chest, and it'll stop my machine. Let's be honest. They just took inspiration from the source material, because their source material in this show is not the Atom as we know.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Iron Man.
Well, actually, it's pretty close to the Atom from the New 52. So, and Adam in the chat has a good point. That's something that Cisco can probably fix.
And we know that's going to happen, because the PaleyFest stuff showed the Atom suit next to the Flash suit.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's what he needed. He needed some beta testing, and it's not flying around the city. It's sparring with somebody, and Arrow showed him a big design flaw. So
you brought up Flash, and I've been wondering about this. You know, the whole timey-wimey thing that happened, I wonder how that's going to affect Starling City.
Wibbly-wobbly.
Well, at this point, nothing, because for them, the day just started over, and it's the same.
Yeah, there was nobody there changing the timeline in Starling City. It's not like Barry went to Starling and did something. So you would assume that time continued as it was, because the events of Flash did not impact Starling.
So next week we're going to get the same episode?
Yes. Yes, it's going to. They're just going to re-air the same episode.
How hilarious would that be if they just did a rerun of Arrow next week?
Episode 18, rerun.
Well, we needed some time to go do our video, our new web series about being two dudes in wine country, so we took a week off Arrow.
Which, by the way, pretty cool.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Hilarious. Two dudes in wine country. You guys should check that out.
Was it dudes being dudes in wine country? I messed up the title, I'm sure. Sorry, Stephen Amell.
Whatever. Stephen Amell on the internet is the man.
Yeah, it's dudes being dudes in wine country. And you can go to that.com and find out a lot more about it.
And you should. You totally should. Okay. I need to talk about that. The Suicide Squad or the Suicide Couple. This is not a squad anymore. When your squad is two dude and, you know, the boss and her husband.
Well, I sort of see what you're saying, but at the same time, this could have been something where they're just like, hey, we don't need to send the entire Suicide Squad in to do this.
Yeah, sure.
Well, and remember in 2.5, they killed off Bronze Tiger about 3 weeks ago. And that's part of the continuity. That's canon. And that was the writer for this episode. This was Keitu Shimizu who actually wrote that issue. So it was intentional. I think they're killing them all off.
Well, I think they don't have the right to use the Suicide Squad past this season. So
yeah, like, so we got a news story sort of on that, and Adam sent us a voicemail. So let's come back to that when we get to Adam's voicemail. We'll talk about the Suicide Squad news and Adam's theory on that. Let's bottle that for a second.
Okay.
Oh, in the chat room, Adam just said in the Flashpoint 5, they had Boomerang on the Suicide Squad this week. So Flash is also using Suicide Squad stuff in their comic. I need to get caught up on that one, too.
Yeah. It's
son of a bitch.
It's really good.
So we didn't have Felicity using a Surface tablet this week, but we had Lila using one. That was pretty cool.
Somebody needs to use a Surface tablet every week.
They got to get that product placement money.
Well, Felicity's using the big screen, you know, in the quiver, and Waller was using the table, which always, whenever they're in the Argus headquarters around that table, it always reminds me of the little conference room in the 616 bus on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I just want to say that we got one of these tables at work, and every time I use it, I feel like I'm a superhero. Just saying.
That's awesome. How big is the TV? Is it 50 inch? Is it 60?
It's a huge, actually a huge table. It's like a dining table, but it's a huge like surface. It's amazing.
Is it touchscreen?
Yes.
Oh, it's so cool.
Unfortunately, it's restricted to work stuff. So we tried to go on YouTube with it, and it didn't let us go on it.
Just because you want to watch porn on it and, you know, do something on top of it.
I don't say that's not the first thing we tried to do, but...
Don't do that stuff at work.
Yeah, that was blocked, unfortunately.
So when Oliver said to... I'm going to go back to the wedding, because there's a couple of things that we didn't touch on. First of all, Felicity catches the bouquet, right?
And, yes.
And then Oliver
that's
says...
screw with the shippers.
Well, maybe. But then Oliver says, you deserve a good guy and a normal life. And of course, at the very end of the episode, we see something that might prevent that from happening.
Oh, come on. That we see... Okay, let's get to the ending. The cliffhanger. So you have... what's his name?
Maceo.
Shooting the mayor, which I was like, oh, we're introducing a new mayor. Oh, okay. And then... you see him hinting at shooting Felicity. You go to credit and you just hear the shot. I think Maceo is getting shot. I don't think he actually shoot this arrow.
By who?
By
Arsenal? Oliver? Okay.
Well, maybe Arsenal.
Why would Oliver and Arsenal be there right now?
Because Felicity is there.
Well, and then you also have Thea's charge right now, Malcolm, because they weren't in this episode at all. You don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, they have so big of a cast right now that they can't feature all the character. And every time I don't have John Barrowman, I'm a little bit let down.
And the other thing, they left us with that stupid Shadow cliffhanger last time. And the flashbacks were all Deadshot. So it's like, come
on. I
kind of
liked that change in the flashbacks this week, especially since we're probably not getting any more Deadshot.
On the other end, as soon as I saw the flashback, I was like, oh, you're so dead. As soon as he showed up in the door, I'm like, if we have a flashback with you, they want us to get really attached to you. Oh, okay.
I think they're going to bring him back for a flashback or something because they still need to tie up what happened with Andy.
I hope you're right. Well, we'll touch on that when we get to the news at the end.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, before we leave who shot that final arrow, though, what about Nyssa? Because she might have been watching out for her new bestie who was in that room.
That's
as
true.
Well.
She could be shadowing. Adam brought up a good point in the chat room. He said Felicity's not going to be the one getting shot because that would prove to Lance that the arrow isn't responsible since she's still working for him.
That is true.
I hadn't thought of that.
Oh, nice point, Adam. Nice
pull, Adam.
If she's going to ultimately morph into the Oracle, she might not be dead, but she might be crippled, maybe?
Don't go there.
Why not? Wing wants to.
I'm just waiting for her to get into a wheelchair. You know, this is one of my dreams in that show.
Yeah, I know. I like her too much to put her through that. That's my problem.
Okay, I can see that. On the other end, the Teen Titans show is coming, and just saying, watch the Gunna Geek Network for Teen Titans Go, maybe at some point. Hey, Neil?
Coming soon to a Gunna Geek near you.
Yeah. So since they're going to have the Oracle in there, I'm not sure they're going to actually do the Oracle with Felicity, but
Based off of the news we're hearing in regards to the Suicide Squad, I find it highly unlikely they would let Arrow touch anything Oracle-related.
Good point. Oh, damn it.
I'm here to crush your dreams. It's my job.
Yeah, I know. Every time we talk about the Titan show, you're like, no.
Oh, that's just to screw with you. Might happen. In this case, I'm actually legitimately saying I don't think it's going to happen.
I kind of figured that was the reason of the Gunna Geek Network was to screw with Wing. I mean, that's just a given.
Well,
all right.
Adam's bringing some gold in the chat room right now. He did bring up, don't forget, guys, that next week Felicity's mom is in the next episode.
Woohoo!
Which could be her recovering from getting shot, potentially. And he also said the original name of the Secret Origins of Felicity Smoke was Oracle, but DC made them change it. So that kind of reinforces my thought that they're not going to get to touch the Oracle name or role.
Well, I don't know about role. It could be a similar but legally distinct sort of character.
Yes, let me put it this way. She cannot put herself in the wheelchair and call herself Oracle. It would have to be some other Greek or Roman name.
Okay. She could be anonymous.
Ooh. Well, talking about technology, the whole X-ray facial reconstruction thing from Oliver, that was pretty creepy looking.
Yeah, it's pretty impossible, too.
Yeah, this seemed to happen more and more in TV shows right now.
Let me put it this way. Let me go to real life for a second. Is my college degree, one of them is in biometric systems, which is fingerprint, face, iris recognition, systems like that. There ain't nothing at all like that that would work for face like that, especially off-angle face. It's one of my big pet peeves, like all of those crime dramas and stuff where they run a partial print and they get a match in like 10 seconds. The science is not there.
What was it in the Iron Man 3 when he recreates a old crime scenes with to little things on the floor?
Or the Dark Knight when Batman recreates a fingerprint off an exploded bullet.
Yes.
Yeah. So in my real life, things I've learned in real life based off of my college degree, I'm sitting there and I look at things like that. I'm like, God, I hate it when you do that because you give people such unrealistic expectations in real life. They're like, well, why don't they just use that? And I'm like, it doesn't exist.
See, this proves to me that y'all need to move to an iPhone 6 because with an iPhone 6, this is all possible.
You can do face. Never mind. I'm not gonna bite on this one. And now they're trolling me in the chat room.
Okay.
She's like, wait, you're saying they can't take a blurry photo, zoom in, and it becomes clear? Well done, chat room. They're trying to stir me up a little bit more.
Yeah. So, poor Floyd. I really feel for him because he pulls a gun out basically over a PB&J sandwich. That is some rough things that he is going through right there.
Yeah. They let's face it, in the flashback, though, they jump really fast from I'm happy to be back to I'm a drunk that pulls gun on my wife.
Well, it's not too far from things that actually happen, though. That's the eerie thing on that, for lack of a better term.
As a fan of the comic, that was really a Deathstroke kind of arc, because that's basically what happens with Deathstroke in the comic when he goes nuts.
Right, and them touching on that, I don't know if any of you guys caught this, at least in the U.S., after this episode ended, they ran a one-page, not ad, but kind of a plug saying, here's the contact information for all the Wounded Warrior Project things and things like that. So
yeah, I want to mention something about that. So yeah, in Canada, they ran the one-pager as well, and all over the Arrow page online and CW and actually CTV, they've got links to Wounded Warrior and And Diggle's character does a really good public service announcement on it. I served overseas at the end of Gulf War I and had a lot of buddies that actually end up serving with the UN peacekeeping force in the former Yugoslavia. And if you've had friends that have come back from serving in active duty with PTSD, it can be really rough. So, you know, a little public service announcement here that projects like the Wounded Warrior Project, both in Canada and the U.S., have this huge impact on the people that reach out to it for support. And I really got to give it to the creators of the show who put this in the show and really tried to draw some attention to it.
I love the fact that they did it. And they were pretty brutal and accurate with the way that things like that can work for people coming back because... It, yeah, I don't know the right way to touch on it and be we're talking about a fun show here. So,
yeah, it's funny because I kind of stream a U.S. Stream, actually, when I watch the show sometimes. And they always have that Navy publicity, which I'm like, well, that's actually a good place. That advertisement. A lot of people come from the Army in that show.
Right, and the voiceover is the actor that does that. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but that's pretty cool with the Navy commercial. But yeah, just I need to touch on this one last time. Wounded Warrior, very important. If you take a look at the news over the last couple of years with you know, the sniper deaths and stuff like that, it's a very important thing that needs to occur. And if you see somebody that comes back and is in need of help, please offer as much help as you can with them.
Exactly.
And definitely. I would like to thank everybody that has the balls to go overseas and protect us. Just saying. I don't have these kinds of balls. I'm here and I'm protected. That's where I'm going to leave that.
Okay, so moving on slightly. So Oliver notices that the arrows are the same. And on a lighter note, there's an awful lot of Ollie cosplaying going on in this show. The League must have a heck of a time at San Diego Comic-Con. But so...
Yes, but when you watch it, it's really tough to know who's who.
Yeah, it is. It is, because they do it so well.
But, that scene where the assassin came down the rope after those first few shots,
that was cool.
Pretty damn awesome.
That was so cool. There were some great fights. Ollie versus all of his clones was an awesome fight.
Anybody find that weird, though, that the first time he's like, this is the League, Roy, so you stay here. And the second time he's like, tell Roy to suit up. I'm like, what happened between... yesterday and now? I don't know.
He just didn't want to fight four clones by himself again. That's what.
Yeah. On the other hand, Nolan has talked about not wanting to use Robin in this Batman thing. And if you have to use a sidekick in a superhero show or movies, I think they're using it pretty well. He's not like prominent. He's backup. And that's how sidekick should be used. I really, really like the way they use the sidekicks in this show.
Yeah, the sidekicks. I mean, that's what makes the show here is the sidekicks. That's, for the most part, what makes it fun for anybody to watch. My 13-year-old daughter watches it for the shipping and for the cool shirtless Ollie scenes. Try saying that five times fast.
Tongue twister.
Yeah. And the rest of us, you watch it for the sidekicks. I mean, that's where the real action is happening in the stories.
I've got complaints from some of my Asian friends that there's not enough salmon ladder anymore. Just saying.
Yeah, not this year.
Yeah, they're like, where's the salmon ladder now? We don't see him like doing the bar thing. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. This week they had like that shirtless training with the sword trying to show that Ollie is trying to get different skills, which I kind of find that interesting.
You look in the chat room, Genie's all for more salmon ladder, it says in there.
Yeah, and I have to pipe in here. As long as we're doing shirtless scenes, Emily Bett Rickards, yeah, we need more Felicity shirtless scenes.
Well, yeah.
I mean, she only did it in Flash. I want to see it in Arrow.
Well, at least you got it once. Be happy with what you got, SB.
I am. It's my screensaver.
I was going to say, I'm sure you have screen grabs of it. Adam in the chat room goes, I'm hoping for more Sarah Salmon Ladder in the Flashpoint spinoff.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a great point.
That I was going to say, you can't get it now because it'd be kind of awkward decaying dead body doing the salmon ladder. Weird.
Well, if you want more digging dead bodies, listen to Walking the Walking Dead on the Gunna Geek Network.
Oh, nice.
Nice pull.
Nice.
I'm a professional.
He's been on fire this week, ladies and gentlemen. It's awesome.
I've been working my craft here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know who else is not working, though? Lila.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Nice. Okay.
So was anyone surprised to hear her make that decision? I figured at the end of that, Diggle would decide, no, I'm out.
Well, I mean, he said he's out, and then Lila said, no, you like doing this, I'm out. But he never said, I'm coming back in, but you get the shot of him going to the quiver
so
later.
Here was my take on that, is that he did not expect that Lila was going to get out. So for the good of the family, he decided that they need to make sure one parent, there's reasonable expectation they'll be around. So he didn't want to take her dream of whatever she's doing with the squad away from her. So he was going to step back from being on Team Arrow. Whereas we've seen that Lila has been incredibly supportive of Diggle being a part of Team Arrow throughout the series. And sometimes you're wondering why, because of what that costs them personally. So she made the decision to leave the squad, to become the more permanent fixture that probably won't get killed, probably because they don't have to keep paying her guest appearance money as much. But
I'll be honest, I think they don't have the right to use Argus after this season. I think we're going to move on to Ive after season 3, because seems that a lot of crustings with the movies they don't want to do. So
yeah.
I'm okay with that, because we've been introducing Ives by small bits at this point, so they could just jump from Argus to Ive without any problem at this point. They did a great job to introduce so much things that they have option now.
Yeah, they've got a lot of history they can just pull from, and bringing Hive back into this episode worked really nicely.
Yeah, and I'm going to give them a little dig, and I'm sorry. I love the show. I really love the show, but I'm happy when you go away from the Batman retread, because the last couple of weeks were really Batman-ish, and this felt like Green Arrow, finally. The last couple of weeks felt like a Batman show. This episode felt like a Green Arrow show.
You know, I'm fine either way, as long as they do both or go back to the Green Arrow or whatever, because Batman stories are pretty good. So if they don't have a Batman show on TV, might as well use some of the tropes.
Agreed, but you're not a Batman fan as much as I am. So for me, when I watch these, I'm like, oh, I know exactly where this is going. So.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, if they were going to take Robotech and make it into Wing Commander on the screen, I'd get pretty pissed. So, yeah.
Okay, I just want to sidetrack there, because we have SP on the show. Robotech live action being fast track. Happy? Pissed?
I'm not pissed yet. I'm going to have to learn a lot more about it. I'm cautiously optimistic. I would love to see it on the screen. The problem is I don't know how serious they are, because if they do a lighter fare like Wing Commander, like Pacific Rim, like Battleship, I'm not going to like it. I'm really not, because there's so much in that universe that I would love to see. But, you know, if they do it good or half good or whatever, or the best that they can, and it's true to the main story, I'll be good. So to bring it back to Arrow here, I understand what you're saying about Batman. While not my favorite comic IP, I know it's yours, and I know that it would really upset you, I guess, if they took it away to give it to Green Arrow.
Okay, fair enough. Sorry, I just needed to hear SP talking about his favorite show, since that was one of the big news of the week.
It was amazing.
It was kind of amazing. So that mission that they go in, that I don't remember which country they're going to. So first of all, they're bringing back Cupid, which she was pretty cool in the first episode, and she stayed pretty consistent with the character.
She's bat-ass crazy now.
Oh, she is, and she falls in love like super fast with Deadshot. That was so funny.
If you think that's her character, though, her character has been created to fall in love with people real fast and then become obsessed with them, and we see that while they're in Casnia.
Yeah, on the rewatch, listening to her describing how the wedding service was going to be, how she was going to save on flowers, spend more on the dress, and then make really strong babies with the arrow. It's like, wow, you've spent too long thinking about this.
Well, she's in a cell. I mean, what else does she have to do?
At least she's not on the cell on the island.
I don't think it would matter to her.
You know, if she was on the cell in the island, she'd just be going after
Deathstroke?
Yeah.
Slade. Oh.
Oh my god, that'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome, because the way that Deathstroke fell in love with Shadow without even I mean, she was never his girlfriend at that point. So that would be really, really interesting to see her like getting really enticed with him, and him does not get damn. That would be great. So make
either that or she becomes his rebound, which would be just ugly.
Oh, I like that.
That's also
good. I like that. Yeah, Adam bring a good point here. Captain Boomerang, I mean, we've seen him once. He's been referring up by name once, but it seems that they don't want to use him anymore because that would have been really easy to insert him in this episode.
Yeah, again, Suicide Squad, two people, because I consider the Suicide Squad the other people, not Diggle and Lila. So Suicide Squad of two people, really, whatever. You got more people you can use them.
Agreed. The if they want to keep with that, then they need to bring us more characters that are in prison.
Yep. So you guys have anything else specific about the episode to talk about?
I'm pretty happy with it. I mean, the death at the end was kind of, come on, just jump off the roof and see if you survive. Give yourself a chance. But besides that, I'm okay with it. There was that character that they're trying to do, the senator that wants to be the
Senator Cray.
Yeah.
We'll be bringing him up in the chat room.
Yeah. And I don't know. The rest of the episode was so interesting that felt like a afterthought a little bit. Don't you find that, guys?
You know, it was an interesting intro, but you instantly dislike the character. I mean, the actor most of the time is playing somebody creepy anyway, so it's like, eh. Yeah, I see where this is going.
You get the feeling we are going to see him again in the series, though, which, you know, if they need to bring in a douchey government type, I think he'll fit the bill.
I did not recognize him at first, and he looked so familiar to me, this senator, and I had to go look it up. He was one of the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents on Cap's team in Winter Soldier, and I was like, that's where I know you from. He had some smart-ass line, like when Cap jumps out of the Quinjet at the very beginning. He was one of those S.H.I.E.L.D. team members.
True.
Small world, crossing streams, right?
Well, at this point, we just need to use good actors, and these actors need to work. So I guess that anything that they can get their hands on. I'm just surprised that they don't have at this point, like, contract that says, like, yeah, don't do the other supers.
Oh, I don't think it matters that much to them yet. No. Oh, Adam brought, that's also where I recognize him from. Adam in the chat room said he's also the leader of the Makos on Enterprise. He was a bit of a dick there, too.
He was.
Oh, true.
Total.
That's probably mostly where I was thinking of.
Although, he was capable there, though.
That's true.
He's not capable here. I mean, he flubs it up so bad that he decides to try to kill himself instead of be taken back. The easy way out there is just get rescued and go back. No big deal.
Good point. Yeah. Cajun Chan bring another good point about Tatsu being Katana. Do you think that she could be the one shooting maybe Maseo at the end?
Ouch.
Think that's about awesome. It. That would be great.
Because Oliver was asking her to come back with him.
We would have to know a lot more backstory on what happened with the kid and everything first before that happens, though.
They might be able to use, what are those things? What are those things? A flashback to deal with that in the next episode?
Yeah, but unfortunately, you're dealing with this in real time. So if they show who's shooting Maseo right away, then you can't do it. But if they don't show it and they show the flashbacks and then reveal later on, kind of like what they did with the whole Sarah death thing, that could work.
Hey, guys, are we willing to put a quarter or on who we think was taking the shot?
You know, first, before we do that, I'm so disappointed that Jay's not here this week because this is his specialty, is picking up on stuff like this and actually guessing right. So I actually secretly think he's writing for all these shows. But anyway, so a quarter on who we think.
I'm still betting on actually Green Arrow at this point, because since Felicity is in the room, I think he's protecting from afar.
I'm going to go a naked Malcolm.
Naked Malcolm.
Why naked? I know it's John Barrowman, but come on.
Because
John Barrowman don't like pants.
Yeah, he's escaping from Thea's apartment and he just grabs a bow and arrow and yeah.
Okay.
My quarter's on Nyssa. Protecting her new bestie.
I was going to say Nyssa, but since we can't have the same one because that wouldn't be fair, I'm going to say it's Shadow.
I still don't think Shadow's alive. I think that's the twin sister or some crap like that. She can't be alive.
Adam in the chat room goes, I hope they don't make everyone an archer, so I don't want it to be Tatsu.
Okay.
Okay, I have to agree with SP. I think that Tatsu being the one that fired the arrow at Maseo would probably involve too much explanation to start the episode off with. And I don't think it being Nissa, because at this point she doesn't want anything to do with her father, and I don't think she's going to take an active stance against him. However, the one person we know doesn't have a problem standing up against Raish and would have a vested interest in protecting Team Arrow would be Malcolm Merlyn. So there's my quarter, guys. You can go ahead and start mailing them to me now.
Are we done with the show now? Can we move on to the news, or you guys got something else?
We've got news, and we've got our checklist still, too. So which do we want to do first?
There's one last thing I want to bring up before we get there. Is it me, or Brendan Routh had a really bad eye infection during that show? He has, like, that red eye on the right side that bugged me all the episode, except when he's in the suit. It's like it happened after. I don't know.
He was just super sleep-deprived.
I figured that he was just emotional. He was crying in between
every
shot.
There's that, too. Yeah, he's emotionally broken.
Because he could no longer trust Felicity. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It's only one eye.
Well, I mean, he's got a 140 IQ. He's thinking, you know, logically with one side and emotionally with the other.
Is that the same eye he gets shot in Superman Returns?
Oh.
Please tell me it is.
Nice. Okay. I need to watch that again.
Exactly. So we want to do the checklist then before the news?
Yeah, that's
good.
Okay, so I got some checklist items, and then after I go through mine, if anyone else has any, feel free to chime in. But in the comics, Joseph Kray is a U.S. senator who comes into conflict with Waller and the Suicide Squad, who gets assassinated by Deadshot. He first appeared in Suicide Squad number 11, was created by John Ostrander and Luke McConnell. So that's a straight-up pull out of the Suicide Squad comics, which I just thought was kind of cool. Diggle mentioned Lila's friend, whose name was Rick. Colonel Rick Flag, could that be who it is?
Oh, I was wondering about that. I was like, they can't just mention Rick out of the blue. It has to be somebody.
I figured it was a Rick Flag reference.
I think so. But can't they use the character? We'll see.
They probably never get to use it, but they can reference it for now. There was a mention of Meltzer Power Plant. There's a comic book writer fairly well known in DC, Brad Meltzer. I assume that's an homage to him.
Oh, Brad Meltzer wrote Identity Crisis, one of my favorite comic of all time. So
yeah, there were no streets named in this episode, so yeah, I could see that happening.
So this is one I saw in the comments on Comic Book Movie, I think, where someone said, I'm not sure if it's intentional, but the way Oliver stopped the Atom is pretty similar to how he stopped Barry in the crossover episode. It looked like he was down and out, but then boom, he flicks the mini arrow at him and takes him down. For Barry, the arrow went through his leg. For Adam, only his power gets cut out. Not exactly the same, but it shows Oliver sticks to strategies that work.
That is true. Why not use something that already worked before? Come on.
Yeah, you gotta think, Oliver's doing pretty good against these super-powered, be it suit-super-powered or meta-super-powered people right now. So kudos to him.
Yeah, and Mike...
Go ahead.
I was moving to the next point, so go
ahead then.
I was like, you know the way that Atom actually land after flying? Looks like Superman. A little bit.
Yeah, I wonder why that is.
At least they didn't make him land like Iron Man. If he did the thing where like one knee's on the ground and a fist next to it, I was going to be like, okay, Marvel's going to sue you.
You know what? I'll bet you they'll do it at some point in time. Bet you. That's another quarter bet. Like, when is it going to happen? Is it going to be this season, next season, how many episodes, whatever? We'll wait till Jay gets back to do that one.
Yeah, as long as he looks up after landing like that and then winks at the camera, I think that would be perfect.
Okay, I agree.
The other thing would be the walk-away explosion. Everybody
in every comic.
Cool guys don't look at explosions. Didn't you see that music video that Will Ferrell did?
Yes.
Yeah. What was this really bad movie? X-Men Origin Wolverine, I think. Where there's that giant explosion and he does not give a... beep about it. It's like, oh, come on, you're Wolverine, but there's a giant explosion, you actually turn.
Cool guys don't look at explosions, man.
I'm not a cool fan. I want to look, watch.
I'd be running. I'd be like, oh, son of a bitch. So I wouldn't be looking either.
fair enough. Ready to go with voicemails?
Do we want to go news first or voicemails?
Oh, news. We have news. Yeah, let's go news,
because I think the news is going to tie in with the voicemail, so we can do it either way. It doesn't matter to me.
Okay, so let's play the voicemail and play in the news then.
All right.
Hey guys, it's Adam. Just calling with my thoughts on last night's episode. Did anyone else see what was probably going to happen with Deadshot pretty early on in the episode? Because I did in like the second flashback. It was a pretty well-executed death, or hopefully just comic book death scene. I'm just hoping it isn't because people at Warner Brothers were worried that viewers would confuse him with Will Smith when that Suicide Squad movie comes out next year. Also kind of worried that they did that so they wouldn't have to be able to use Suicide Squad and Arrow in more than Lyle being with Argus and Deadshot were sort of a two tie between Team Arrow and the Suicide Squad. As for the rest of the episode, the senator was pretty clearly going to be at least a jerk, considering the actor who played him. Only thing that would have been more obvious is if it was Ronnie Cox. Now, what next? I did like that Arrow was pretty quick to find a vulnerability in the Atom suit. I imagine that Felicity will be taking Ray somewhere they can address some of those vulnerabilities in a couple weeks. Can't wait to hear what you guys think. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. First of all, Adam, I just have to say, well, first of all, thank you very much for calling. We really appreciate it. But really, Ronnie Cox? I mean, you're taking it back to Star Trek. He was a good guy at Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, you're taking the Beverly Hills Cop defense? Come on.
Yeah, it was great. Great movies. He was great in that. Come on.
No,
Ronnie Cox isn't always bad.
Yeah, now he is. I mean, in the 80s, maybe, but now he's made a career of being bad.
Aw.
Come on.
I really like him. He's great. And in Star Trek, I didn't think he was that bad of a captain. Yeah, he disconnected with the crew a little bit, but...
A little bit?
He okay. still got results.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Okay, the movie connection. Now, that came out in the news, and that's part of the news that we have this week. Yeah, it looks like Warner Brothers does not want to have characters moving from TV to movies. So it is the last time we've seen Deadshot for a long while, and I am guessing that the Suicide Squad will be off the book for a while. What I'm afraid is there's a big rumor that Deathstroke is going to be on the Suicide Squad movie, and I don't want them to take Manu Bennett out of this show forever.
So Mark Guggenheim was asked on his Tumblr whether there's a chance that Floyd Lawton or Deadshot would be a regular next season. His response was, unfortunately, Deadshot is off the table. So he's not giving a lot of detail, but it makes it seem like they were told, yeah, you guys are done with this now. And if you look at this episode, we've kind of teased it throughout this. They're moving away from Argus. They're moving away from the Suicide Squad. They're kind of phasing out all of those connections. And Adam brought up in the chat room, he goes, I bet this will be the last we see of Waller is all the flashbacks this season.
Yeah, that's going to be too bad.
So if this is a case of DC taking the Suicide Squad away from Arrow because the movie's coming out, number one, shame on you, DC, because the only reason people might care about a Suicide Squad movie is because they've had it in Arrow, and that's where they've been exposed to it.
Yeah, you should use that as a jumping point, actually, to help your movie work better and not just take it away.
I'm sure we all have lots of thoughts on this. I'm curious, what do you think on this one, Neil, SP, Wing, more in depth? Are you guys angry, just frustrated, or did you expect it?
Neil, why don't you go here?
Yeah, sure. No, I'm kind of pissed off. And, you know, Chris, I agree with everything you've said, that they've set the basis. They've brought the DC universe into the mainstream. My first thought when they announced a Suicide Squad movie is like, nobody is going to know who these guys are. And then with how well Deadshot connected with the audience in the Arrow TV show, it's a bit of a slap in the face to yank it out of here. Thanks. You know, thanks, guys. You set the stage and you're done. At this point, to take Waller out of this, to take Deadshot out of this, and to take Argus out of this, a major plot point and a major piece of Ollie's history, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I kind of agree there. You can't take Waller out of the TV show at this point. She's so important, as much as the flashback as in the now, that just getting that character away would be a great, great loss to the show. And they should take that opportunity to see that as a marketing way to actually market their freaking Suicide Squad movie that nobody cared about a year ago. And right now, a lot of people are excited. So I don't want to say I'm pissed, but I don't agree with the decision.
This is another one of those differences you're going to see between the Marvel method and the DC method, where Marvel's got a bit of an advantage because It's a shared universe. So they like this cross-collaboration. And for some reason, we know these aren't connected. DC seems more scared of brand confusion than using the opportunity to cross-promote things. It reminds me a lot of, I read the Star Wars books a lot when I was middle school, high school, things like that. About the same time the prequels came out, there's a big focus on Anakin Skywalker. There was a character in the Star Wars books named Anakin Solo, who was the kid of Han and Leia. And George Lucas passed the word and says, we need you to kill this character off. We don't want people to confuse him with Anakin Skywalker in the prequel movies. And that's why they killed him off. And this reminds me a lot of that.
I understand why they're doing this, but I don't agree with it. And furthermore, it is pissing me off. Listen, if you're going to keep separate universes. Who cares? What this signals to me is that they are considering crossing universes. They are considering bringing Stephen Amell over as the Green Arrow into the DC movie universe. But you've gone way too far down the road to be trying to take away stuff from the TV shows and put it in the movies. DC has royally screwed this up, because either you keep it separate or you combine it. And they're even talking about, I think I heard this on Crimson Comet, that in the PaleyFest Flash panel, they were talking about bringing Wally West into Flash and possibly being the next generation Flash, and removing Grant, I guess, is a speculation up from all that. If you do that, I mean, it's like, come on, Flash is such a big hit for DC right now. Don't screw with it like that. And I have no idea where they're going, what their execution plan is, if they even have one. It seems like it's haphazard. They haven't let the trailer out appropriately. Marvel does a great job of marketing that stuff. And even when they're caught with leaks or whatever, they handle it really well. DC just doesn't have that machine going, and it just pisses me off.
Right, and I wasn't saying anything to try and bring us into a Marvel-DC war by making that connection. I was just trying to show how their two theories on universes work.
Yeah, and I like the fact that we have two theories, because I know we have people from the Marvel shows here. And right now, I think that the same thing as last year, it hurt them a little bit. And I like the fact that they're disconnecting. The fact that DC work in multiple universes, I like the idea of just let them both do whatever they want. So when they're starting to restrict character to one or the other, I'm like, okay, pick something, but don't just say, okay, don't use them because we're gonna have Will Smith. That's my point. And I'm happy that they're not cross-pollinating, because that gives them more freedom. Leave them that freedom. Don't take it away. Don't take away freedom. Don't.
See, Arrow has done a phenomenal job over the course of its three seasons of, you know, taking the scraps on the table and doing something great with it. And now, all of a sudden, if Deadshot is off the table for whatever reason, it doesn't sound good right now. And I think they need to full-on address it, or it's just going to snowball on them.
Agreed, and they're not going to take the Flash TV show away. Trust me, they're not taking the Flash TV show away, because the Flash is awesome.
Yep.
The Flash is awesome. If you want to hear more about the Flash, there's always the Crimson Comet on the Gunna Geek Network, I'm just saying.
Be prepared for a lot of poop jokes.
Yes, lots.
And
lots.
Puns.
And listen to the outtakes, I'm just saying.
Hashtag banned in China.
Yes.
Neil knows.
Yeah, we are banned in China. I haven't seen any numbers from China in a couple of weeks, so we're probably banned in China at this point.
It could be worse.
All right. Do you guys have anything else for the episode, or are we out?
I'm pretty happy with where we're going. Can't wait. We're at episode 17 right now, so we have like 6 episodes to go. I can't wait to see how they're going to wrap all this up, because there's so many plot threads at this point that it's exciting, but at the same time, it's a little bit nerve-wracking. So do a good job, writer. Jay, do a good job. Neil?
No, that's it. That was it was a great episode. I really enjoyed it. And, you know, I want more Ollie versus the clones. I don't watch Orphan Black, so this is where I can get my clone on clone action.
Have you guys seen the picture of the new Arrow suit on the internet?
Did we want to talk about that?
Let's stay
I'm
spoiler
avoiding
free.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's not talk about that. If you really want to see it, folks, go on the internet. It was blowing up on Facebook last night, which would be on the 26th. And there's a lot of fan speculation, but we will steer away from it so as not to spoil anyone.
I just want them to call him the Green Arrow. I'm just saying.
I want him to be the Green Arrow.
All right. We'll just stroke your wing and it'll be okay, right?
Don't stroke me. Please don't.
Oh, dear Lord.
I just want to say thank you, Neil, very much. You jumped in at the last minute today. Thank you very much for joining us today. We really appreciate you coming on, and it is a blast whenever we're able to get you on a podcast.
Always a pleasure, guys. This is probably my favorite cast out there, so the pleasure is all mine.
And I'm always surprised when I'm like, he's not going to answer right now. It's 5 o'clock in the morning over there. 5 minutes later, yeah, sure, guys. He's up.
When damn, Wing he's... calls, the Neil answers. It's great.
5 o'clock in the morning. Wow.
I also want to say thank you very much to everybody in our new Chatwing interface. This is the first time we've used it on Starling Tribune. And if you're listening to the podcast later, we record 9 p.m. on Friday nights. Go to gunnageek.com/live. You will find our Mixlr feed, our YouTube feed, and our Chatwing interface, so you can chat with us there.
Yes, the live thing is getting more and more prominent on the Gunna Geek Network. So what I would advise is, like, you know, when the evenings start to be a little bit slow at home, just go on the Gunna Geek Network and look for that banner, that giant banner that you can't miss. And maybe there's one of your favorite show that's live right now.
And if you go to gunnageek.com/live, there's a little schedule at the bottom of the screen that shows the set schedule for all of our live shows right now, too.
Yeah, and for those wondering, no, Legends is never going to be live because there's things that you can't hear on the show. I'm just saying. The pre-show on Legends is too dangerous to be out there. We're going to be banned in every country.
They don't make an explicit tag large enough.
No, they don't. No, they don't. So, but you know, if you want to listen to Walking the Walking Dead or the Starling Tribune or Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., which everybody seems to be calling Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. on every Gunna Geek show right now. Just saying, I think that's a pretty good title. I don't know who thought about that, but thank you. Thank you very much.
That was all you, Wing.
Not stroking my ego at all. Oh, yeah. I'm stroking.
No, not at all.
You're stroking yourself. Yeah, that's great.
Oy vey.
Okay. Also, I just want to say thank you again to Adam for the voicemail. We really appreciate it. If you are out there and you have a telephone, you can call us 612-888-CAVE or 612-888-2283. We would love to hear from you, how you think about our show, how you think about Arrow, how you think about the DC Universe. Give us a call and we will love to play it.
Yes, yes. Any last word at Roundtable Nerd?
Ooh, betrayal.
At Stargate Pioneer?
Proshnost.
At Stargate is... Stargate. At Neil is in Witty.
Hive.
And I'm at Nightwing _ JJ, and I'm going to go with Atom. So this has been...
The Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at gunnageek.com or check out our archive at starlingtribune.com. Visit gunnageek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin McLeod can be found at incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the properties of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. We leave no warrior behind. Wounded Warrior Project is a nonprofit organization created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war. Whether those scars are physical or mental, we're here to make sure that they heal. And whether it's helping those with post-traumatic stress disorder live a normal life again, or giving much-needed support to injured warriors and veterans hospitals. Because no one deserves our help more than the men and women who risk their lives to keep us safe. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org.